Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
All right, we're going to get into it again today as we await the jury's decision in the Lindsey Clancy case. As we are sitting here on Monday morning, Lindsey Clancy jury started deliberating. Nine women, three men, five verdict options. Both sides agree she killed Cora Dawson and Callan. That is not up for debate, despite what you may be understanding if you're just watching TikTok. Patrick's not an option. The fight is whether she understood what she was doing. That's what we're going to be getting into. We're going to talk about the prosecution's case and how that landed, how the defense cases landed from various perspectives, and what is going on as we move ahead. Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us, retired FBI special agent, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief for the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and masterclass extraordinaire instructor. Links, by the way, in the description.
Nice.
Let's start with this. Sprague's theory is that Clancy couldn't end her own life while her children were alive, that they were basically the protective factor, and so she removed them. This is part of the psychotic thinking, if you will, where true north is truly pointing southwest, and she's not aware that this sort of thinking is crazy. Not rage, not psychosis, a decision. Let's talk about that, because the bar is not necessarily a specific diagnosis of psychosis. It's not having essentially your wits about you to understand right from wrong. Whatever that is that's going on in your mind is what it is. But arriving to that decision, a decision itself, do you buy that? And doesn't that prove psychosis or something very much like it, even if it's not that exact word, Jen?
I don't buy it. I don't want a free sample of it. I don't believe it. Look, this is the problem. I can't ignore the facts. I cannot ignore the facts of what she did to set up her opportunity to take her children's lives. I just can't. I can't ignore the fact she got her husband out of the house. She sent him to a specific place. She sent him to another place. She mapped it all out. She knew the time frames. There is no chance I can get over the premeditation in this case to say the voices that, by the way, only lasted 18 minutes somehow made her do this. I can't get it. I can't go there.
It's interesting, Jen, because, you know, when I was listening to, and for everyone that's watching, and everyone knows that, you know, Jen and us, 180s on the thoughtfulness of her before this. And so, but again, we're engaging it in a really thoughtful way, which I enjoy on this, even though it's surrounding a horrendous loss of three lives. And so that isn't lost on any of us, is that it's all about the three lives that were lost. It's just talking about the culpability of her being criminally responsible for it or not. And so on that, Jen, it was interesting listening to Reddington's closing statement, where he actually had a different optic and context, which I hadn't really locked onto before, about what you just said. You say, and granted, I'm on the side of arguing that, you can do all that planning in a psychotic break and for that amount of time. Now, granted, I saw your post on it. Yes, it's a slim amount of time, and I'm not a medical expert on this by any stretch of imagination. I just watched all the testimony and only the people that testified, because, again, that is when we're talking about justice, that's where justice is. Justice is in the process and the system. And for my optic, I think it's been served well so far, because it's the process, right? But what happened was Reddington gave this optic saying that she wasn't checking all these things and planning it out to get him out of the house. She did it to check how fast he's going to be back to the house, because she didn't want to be without him, which is a completely different optic, which was... So for me, I now have two things that I'm holding in my mind. I'm holding the fact that I thought originally and agreed from, again, my understanding of what was presented, that this was a psychotic break for that period of time because of all these mental health issues that were coming up. And now every single clinician that testified, both sides agreed that she was in a severe mental crisis. Some said it was she had criminal responsibility for it, and some on the defense side didn't. But again, a lot of overlap there. But again, adding that new dimension to it, as his take for the closing was very interesting, saying that actually wasn't her trying to get him out. It was actually her planning, how fast can I get him back?
Okay.
But you don't believe. So I want to add more one thing. So I'm so sorry.
No problem.
From what you've said and what you've said the entire time, you don't believe, and correct me if I'm restating, if I'm saying this wrong, you don't believe her, and you don't believe anyone that testified that she is truthful. She's been tested for the test saying that she is got a lot of veracity, that she's never lied in the past, the family members that agree with it, and all the psychologists also said that she was forthright. If nothing else, she minimized. And so you don't believe any of that?
No, that's way too blanketed, for
okay.
sure.
Correct.
I mean, I would have to go, you know, very much point by point. But no, that definitely is not my blanket statement. But back to what you said about Reddington, this is why that's baloney, in my opinion. It's because if you give me the proof where she's done that before, if I'm the defense attorney and that's anywhere near truthfulness, I would have put up I would have shown other instances. I would have said, see, we have her cellular footprint here. Look, she did this all the time when he left on this and this, and he tracked and took down. We didn't see any of that because it didn't exist, because this is the time she did it, and she did it when she decided to murder her kids.
Yeah, fair point. So I'll go back to my original then.
I guess, is it? I mean, I do wonder, like, did they look? Did they look to see if this is a pattern for her on that? Because they would be looking at an area that wasn't part of a crime. I mean, could that be overlooked? Could that be something they never went back and thought, hey, does she do this every time he leaves the house? I don't know how frequently he left the house.
Not with a guy like Reddington, in my opinion. I mean, okay. For all of his, you know, what I might not like about him, I think he's a very savvy attorney.
Sure.
I think he's very well spoken, all of that. I think he knows how to defend. And if he had that nugget, oh my gosh. And with all the people helping and the millions of dollars that have been raised in this thing, he would be all over it.
Yeah, good counterpoint to it. I agree.
So you're very much of the opinion that she, because I'm trying to understand the premeditation here. The premeditation, from what I'm understanding of all this, is her looking up the distance to the store, the restaurant. Is that the extent of it? I mean, is there more premeditation here that I'm missing of her planning this big thing? I'm literally asking, am I missing something here that you're seeing, Jen, where she's been planning this for a long period of time, more so than just like right before she says, you know, go pick this up. Here's, you know, the info on the phone.
Like days or weeks or,
yeah.
I mean, like how far in front of the event?
Where is this premeditation talking about that I seem to be missing other than that? And I know that technically qualifies as premeditation. It just doesn't have a lot of, you know, anchoring to it, if you will, beyond just she looked it up right there.
Or we've seen more. This is a good way to put it.
It's kind of a lot when you really track, and I have this really great rundown, point by point, minute by minute rundown of every text message, the calls, adding in the Pedialax, communication about exactly, I want a bowl, what are you going to get? All of that that elongated the amount of time and showed the preparation. So you asked, though, which I think is such a great question, how long do I think she premeditated? Was this weeks? Was this months? I think, and I wrote this and some people hated it. I should have put my disclaimer, obviously, at the top, although I've done this on every case and now all of a sudden people notice it. But the disclaimer about what I think was going through her head, I think it was that day. I think that was when, you know, straw that broke the camel's back and the relief set in and the premeditation started. And that's when I think it happened.
That's a fascinating statement you just made, Jen. So you think that the premeditation started that day, and you just said the straw that broke the camel's back. So the straw for me that broke the camel's back and on the side of that not criminal responsibility is the fact that that everything led up to the psychotic break where she had the command hallucination. For you, for the fact that she was totally witting and conscious of what she's doing is making a choice of this, what do you think was a straw that broke her back? Because I think it was, psychologically, medically induced, from chemical imbalances and all the other psychosis going on. What for you was a straw that broke her back that caused that switch to go off that said, I'm going to kill my kids now. I'm very witting of it.
Well, so when you look at everything leading up to it, have you guys read things like her posts on Facebook, her issues with Dawson? That was built up. Do you guys remember? And I'm sure you do. I'm not saying that you don't. Right. We all watch this trial. But the looking closely back at what Patrick said about her struggling and things seemingly getting worse as the approach of her returning to work was happening, about how she wanted to harm the children. And I think they downplayed it, but at least they admitted, the mother and Patrick, that she said she wanted to harm the children. As I said, I really think this is a downplay. And I think that built up. This is not unlike other cases where people want to kill their children. It really just isn't. I know people say it is because they are putting this PPP on it. You know, one of the cases that, and I don't think we discussed it, did we talk about the lady from Maine yet?
The lady from Maine. Which one?
You gotta look at her. 1950s, late 1950s. I'm sorry, her name does.
Yeah, I saw something about that. You posted something about it the other day, and I looked. I don't recall a lot of details, but briefly.
It's a very interesting case because it's a case about a woman with children approximately these same ages, and she drowned her three children. And ultimately, she was declared insane, not criminally liable, and goes to a mental institution. She's in the mental institution for 5 years. Her husband stays by her side on all of this, asks for her to be released, does the legal proper paperwork. They said, listen, she's all better. They let her out. She has three more children, and she kills all three of them. And that is precisely my point on this, is women do this, they repeat it, they don't get over it. That's why I think Andrea Yates has said, listen, keep me here. There is no chance I can handle having kids. And I guess she thinks she might. She's unsafe. And it's because they know. They absolutely know what they're doing. This isn't some sort of blackout. This isn't something they can't help. Remember, she was texting and communicating in the middle of the murders.
And as described from the mental health experts there, psychosis isn't a blackout, though.
Psychosis isn't anything you're describing.
Well, you say it's nothing I'm describing. I know. And listen, I thought the experts were all very interesting in their own rights. I learned a lot in different ways in a general aspect. But what I could never overcome, and I'm seeing it now more online, is that they just, as I said at the beginning, to me, they are just a check mark off. They don't help the case. They don't hurt the case. And this happens a lot with experts, by the way.
Right. They cancel each other out.
jurors come back and say they're totally canceled. And that's what in social media people are saying. I canceled them out early because I cannot take somebody's point of view that wasn't treating her, interviewing her, understanding her at the time. And I certainly can't take this whole medication thing, especially now that they all named off these same medications that they named off before, plus Wellbutrin. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Right.
And so to me, I agree. And, you know, and Bob Mott even covered it years ago when, again, I'll keep, you know, touting his great Gacy case in Buried, because the same thing there. His dad was going for not guilty by reason of insanity with a horrendous serial killer. And talking about the difficulty of bringing experts on there, because all in essence they cancel each other out. But to me, that also opened your mind to the possibility of it could be this, but they cancel each other out. That's why from the very get-go for me on this case has been the family, friends, colleagues, workers, her life arc and their life arc, the healthy relationship. Because then I was talking to Todd and Tony before this as well, and to everyone else, if it hadn't been for them, I mean, so here's my thought experiment. They're the ones that keep me in the camp of this was such a massive deviation. And someone, I used this analogy the other day, someone said she's a monster. And I said, well, there was a monster in there, but that wasn't the Lindsay monster, because something else entered there because a monster did those things. And that's where this psychosis or the mental illness comes in. Because without those people saying all those things, standing by your side, and this isn't just your average people staying this. I look into not just the relationship they have with Lindsay, but the relationship they have with each other, the types of lives they leave. I mean, these are good, strong, healthy people with no deviations, no wobbles. I've never seen, so I can't even come close to comparing the other case we've covered to this, because there's not that circle of people around her that are the same. If any of them, if there had been a few people in that circle that had leakage on issues, strife, challenges, bad relationships, any wobbles in there like this, my outlook on this might be very, very different, because again, if you're going to go down the road that experts cancel each other out, what are you left with? What's the jury left with? They're left with a testimony of all these people. You know, all the people the prosecution brought up were the ones that sided with her, and how healthy she was, and how this was so out of the norm. And that's why the statute, this is why this was brought in the first, back in London, you know, the UK many, many years ago in the 1800s, when it first got codified, it got brought into the United States in our criminal justice system, Massachusetts in the 50s into the 60s, got updated. John Hinckley's case in the 80s updated even further, actually reduced it, made it lower. I mean, I've done so much research understanding the statute, but again, this is a system working, but that's how I've seen this. And when you cancel out the experts and you go down the road of what are you left with, that's how I see it.
And I just think there's so much left that doesn't have an agenda, that doesn't have anything other than the facts. And that is what we can see in the digital footprint. And that's what people are seemingly for some reason not discussing right here. We need to discuss the facts. The opinions are interesting, but they have a lot of agenda. Patrick's agenda, they are in bed together, by the way. They have that huge lawsuit that nobody wants to talk about against the healthcare providers. That puts them as needing to have the same agenda, the same voice put forth. They have lot of money
or they have a very legitimate case against failed healthcare providers.
I'm just saying,
and not necessarily an agenda, but more so a shared mission of exposing bullshit
of retribution against horrible care and kill their kids. Right.
I mean, it's not everything is like, let's go make this a fucking payday. It's more like we're going to expose the shit out of this. And if financially that's how a civil case works. It's not like, and a big fuck you at the end of the day on a big postcard. It's money.
Is about money, though. It all is. When you set up a GoFundMe right away,
his friend did. He didn't set that up himself. That was nobody directly with the family did that.
They know they are the receiver of the money. I know. They have to check in with you. Is this
sure? The family didn't set it up, though. I just think factually that's important. And I mean, speaking of facts, too, Constance Fisher had paranoid schizophrenia, a chronic lifelong condition. Lindsay Clancy's defense is postpartum psychosis. That's an acute condition tied to postpartum, the period that resolves with treatment. Two different diagnoses. Fisher was released in 59 and under 1950s psychiatric standards, before modern antipsychotics, before structured monitoring, before anything resembling the system that exists today. So using the Eisenhower era, you know, psychiatry to predict the 2026 outcome, or really putting them in the same basket, is not honest, because they're not. It's not the same diagnosis. It's like saying, oh, well, you died of the flu. Well, let's compare rabies. Like, that's not the same thing.
Oh, but Tony, we have been comparing Andrea Yates this whole time. And Andrea Yates was also diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Sure.
And actually... No, yeah.
I know, but you brought her up. So I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up. You brought up.
Also, everybody's upset about the drug she's been given in this modern era, right? With modern medicine. Everybody's upset about that. So what does it matter whether
it's not, they're not upset at the drug she's been given. They're upset at the irresponsible way at which they were doled out to her. That's the problem. The drugs aren't the problem. It's one provider not knowing what the other one is giving the other, and the dosages and getting on and off. That's the issue. It's not the drugs themselves.
She was physician shopping and she was pharma shopping. She filled 13 medications. She's a nurse. And by the way, I'll reiterate, they still recited off the same drugs. I was sitting there listening going, oh my gosh, she's on all of that?
It was 30 prescriptions. There were 13 different medications over the course of the time. But it was up and down, up and down. So, I mean, the way that works, essentially, I've said it 1,000 times. Okay, so you get prescribed 10 milligrams of X drug. Okay, the next time you're going, I don't like this, or maybe we should go up, maybe we should go down. Okay, well, you already got that script for 30 pills. Okay, well, you want to go to the next one to 15 milligrams? I'm just throwing random numbers out here because this is how it works. 15, okay, great. You took 7 of the ones in that jar that were 30. Okay, so you got 23 left, and that's now a jar that's not being touched. See, she's not taking those meds. No, she was prescribed the next dose, up or down, and then she started taking those. And then she was prescribed the next dose, up or down there. And so then you have those empty bottle after empty bottle because the next dosage gets prescribed at 30 or 90-day intervals. So, yes, you're going to have a lot of empty bottles. That's just how the math works. It's not...
But Tony... Do you think she followed what she was told or just took a couple here, a couple there?
She was wanting to change it all the time. I mean, that's a fault of the, and then that's a fault of.
She was changing it as the effects weren't working.
That's her fault. Is anything Lindsay?
It's the medical providers that need to say, we're not just going to fill this shit like Tic Tacs for you.
I'm asking you guys. I have a question for you all now. Did Lindsay Clancy do anything wrong? Anything in this whole thing, or everything's the provider, everything is somebody else's fault. It's all her husband, her mom, you know what? Everybody's responsible. Did Lindsay Clancy, this is my question, do anything wrong when it came to her own medical care?
Yeah, she went with Dr. Tufts at the very beginning. That was the dumbest friggin' mistake she made. She listened to Tufts. 100%.
She didn't demand better care.
100%. I mean, she listened to the 12-year-old that got up there with 1 month experience outside of being outside of her clinicals,
so and that's said, all she did wrong.
"Yeah." And she, in my estimation, yeah. But is any human being flawless in the system? Yeah. So I think she chose the wrong healthcare providers, and she was trying to work the system. She was working the system. Yeah, she was trying to find someone to fix her. She kept screaming, fix me, fix me, fix me. Everyone kept saying, you're broken, 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 but no one could come up with a way to fix her. So when I listened to the testimony, all of it, absolutely every minute of it, what they were doing was she wasn't shopping for drugs. And the way they prescribed it, according to Tufts, was that she was allowed to, she'd make a prescription for a period of time. She would take a couple, and then she was told it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks for this to take effect. But what was happening is she'd take the medication. It made her more she had less sleep taking medication, so she had to stop it because of the effect it was having on her before it even had a chance to take effect. And so then Tufts would say, all right, I'll prescribe something else. Let's try this. And so they kept switching up her medication based on reports that she's given on the effect it was having on her body, and also the fact that she's battling because she didn't want to be on medication because she's afraid of being addicted to medication. medication, and she also was breastfeeding her youngest that she wanted to do, but then she couldn't do. I mean, so all these little data points. She wasn't shopping for new drugs. I mean, she's shopping to find something that's actually going to work to get her to sleep. And she's going to she kept going with Tufts throughout this thing, but Tufts wasn't deconflicting and coordinating with everyone, because she'd then go to this person and tell this other person, I'm going to Dr. Tufts. This person, I'm going to Dr. Tufts. But none of these people are talking back and forth with each other, so that they're prescribing this Tufts. So you see the mess that was happening. So was she making a mistake? I don't know. I don't think so. I think the medical system made a tragic mistake, because they weren't.
She's already not in a competent state.
I can't agree with that, though.
But that's a test. I'm stating the testimony.
But that's what happened.
Exactly, I just can't agree that this nurse. Well, no, you're stating part of the testimony, but you're not stating the testimony from the medical provider's view. My whole thing is,
What'd I miss? Tell me, fill me in.
Oh,
I did.
On Tufts? What is her testimony?
She met with her for 13 minutes and actually had the counseling session for 13 minutes. The total session was 30 minutes long, drop down menus.
That is this telemed that was chosen, by the way, by Lindsay Clancy. Get your ass in to somebody.
Well, that wasn't Lindsay's choice.
She had a nanny. Get your ass in.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice.
If you're having problems.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice.
That's what I'm saying. It's Lindsay's choice.
No, that wasn't Lindsay's choice. We were in COVID era shit where it was, we're going to do everything via telemed still, if you remember that era.
So she started seeing Tufts during the lockdown. So she wasn't able to go in person. And then when actually the lockdowns lifted, Tufts kept seeing her virtually the entire time. Tufts never once met her in person for all the sessions right up until the day before. And that was not a choice that was highlighted by Lindsay.
She did see others in person. She didn't do telemed for everybody. I mean, there were so many different providers here.
There were a lot of different providers.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
Some of this has to be on her shoulders.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue this conversation. Links are in the description. Reddington held up family photos, a honeymoon wish jar, and a poster of 13 medications, and told the jury the system broke this woman. He called it lousy medical care and a prosecution that ripped the soul out of this girl. And we're going to break this down, the defense of Lindsay Clancy, as we continue to wait for the jury's decision. With me, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and also Jennifer Coffendaffer with us to help us break it down as well, retired FBI special agent. So yeah, 13 psychiatric medications across providers who never talked to each other. Patrick went to Clancy's doctor the week before and said, you're turning her into a zombie. Nobody changed anything. Other than going to your doctor and maybe you have to, I mean, I feel like you do sometimes these days, and tell them they're wrong. I don't know what else could have been done here. I mean, this is not doctor shopping. This is not prescription shopping. I can show you 1,000 cases of that where people are addicts out there doing that sort of shit. Clearly, this is not that. I don't know where we get down that road, but it just doesn't seem like we're dealing in reality at that point. We're dealing with someone who was searching for a way to get better. It's revealed by all of her private writings, her thoughts, things that have been revealed to other people. None of this is, where can I get my latest fix? It's how can I get better? Because I so desperately want to be there as a mother for these kids that she loves so desperately. And somehow it has turned into this. So when you have something like that, when you have these providers not communicating across all these lines, yeah, that leads to some problems here. How effective? How do you think it landed with the jury in terms of the providers that were put on the stand? Because to me, on the outside looking in, I feel like a lot of the prosecution's witnesses actually helped the defense more than it helped the prosecution, at least in terms of arguing the failures in the system here.
You know, Jen? Here we are at over 10 hours, right? 12 hours, whatever, 13, 14 hours that the jury is on. And I always found it very interesting that what they wanted to see was the medication and that big old butcher knife.
Yeah.
Right? So far,
So far. I mean, they haven't asked, at least that we know about. Well, we would know about them. We don't know there's no other jury notes. So why are they focused on that? Why did they want to see that? To me, they wanted to see that to see how sharp that knife was. I think that that was important. I would want to know, was this really a sharp knife or was this one of those dull ones like most of mine in my drawer? And then the bottles, I think it was very important for them to count for themselves, to see for themselves, and also just how used in you know, those bottles were. I think that they are really trying to focus on that physical, what I talked about, not about what people said, but basically what is the real evidence. The real evidence, not just witnesses, because to me, everybody has an agenda.
Digital but what does the evidence tell you without context? Of course, they're going to be taking context into it. Other than that, you just have 30 bottles.
I agree.
I agree. Context is important. But yeah. My point is, this was important for them to see both of these. And it tells me that they're more focused on that than, you know, I keep wondering.
Or at least one person in there is.
At least one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I keep wondering how much these doctors thought. I think a lot of people are from my view saying she's an RN and she needed to take more control of her outcome and more control of her medical
situation. So now I'm going to push back on that a little bit, only because people, and I only say this because the context of my daughter being an RN in exactly the same field, as I've said multiple times, and I know I get blasted by sometimes nurses on here who say, oh, you don't know this. And no, you're right. I don't know anything about it because I'm not one myself. But my daughter is very, very specific with what her field is, because we just visited my dad, and who has medical issues as well. And my daughter, who's a amazing nurse in her field, will be very, very specific on, hey, that's not my field. I don't do this. And I can talk about this, and this, but you know, so to make the jump in Lindsay's case where, well, she's an RN, so she should know better. She doesn't have a freaking clue on mental health issues or medication, mental health issues. Matter of fact, I even asked my daughter about testing for thyroid issues before taking certain medications with dealing with postpartum. My daughter was very, what? No, that's not what we do. And what I do is we deal with this. I mean, it's very, very specific. They're very specialized. And so putting it on Lindsay that she should have known better because X, Y, and Z, that's not her field, man.
It's kind of like saying you go to a restaurant and you get a steak that's undercooked. Well, you should have gone back there and cooked it better yourself. That's not why I'm here.
That's a good one.
But also people say that she should have done more, but then she did try to do more. She tried to find different providers. She tried to try different drugs. So in a way she was trying to be her own best advocate.
Yeah.
And the same people that say she didn't do enough say she did too much.
True. She went back to the kitchen and cooked the steak.
Right.
She literally did. It and it's still not enough.
See, I don't like that analogy personally.
Why? Because it's too real?
No, you ready, Tony? Because if I get a steak that's undercooked, I say, I'm not eating it. Go back and cook it, or I order something else. There was nobody forcing her to eat the steak.
But you just said it. Or I'll go somewhere else. I'll find someone else. And that's exactly what she's doing. She didn't like the steak she got. And so she said, I don't want it. Get me another one or I'm going to another restaurant. It was exactly what she did.
So she did what you said to do.
You just said.
Oh, I totally agree. She was shopping.
That's not shopping. That's trying to get the right treatment.
That's shopping. I'm not saying that she wasn't trying to feel better. Look at all the people trying to feel better.
I think we have different definitions of shopping or something.
I think maybe so. It's so interesting to me, and with the respect, of course, I have for all of you all, Todd, Tony, Robin, that we can see the same set of facts and we can interpret them so differently. Mm-hmm. It really is interesting.
Yeah. 3 days.
I have a quick question. Have you all offset the experts, or are you still, or do the experts weigh in huge? And if so, who? Which one? Which one now did the other one?
I have two. Actually, just in case you asked that, Jen, I have my two I like that I actually listen. Everyone else offset it for me. I have two that I actually thought were the most credible in my mind that they're on opposing. So I had Dr. Resnick. on the on the defense side. He's the one that was the last case. He's the expert on postpartum psychosis.
Yeah.
Andrew Yates. Yeah. So that's the Andrew Yates one. And then it was also the first rebuttal guy. Where the hell's my sheet on this? The first rebuttal guy. Oh, here it is. Halbron. Halbron said that he found her to be criminally responsible, but I liked how he presented that there's two possibilities. So here's what he agreed with. I liked his rationale on this, because it goes according to what I'm saying as well. Because of what the family's reported, because of her life, because of this life arc, as he said it, this is so incongruent with who she was as a human being, must have been something that caused it. He said in his mind, there's two things. One, the postpartum psychosis. And he said, from the data I collected, I don't think that one's as much as the second one. And the second one was the altruistic filicide, serious ideation with attempt, and severe depression. And he goes, which is also a criteria which that the jury could find her not criminally responsible for, if that is the case. Both of those are that. But he said, in his viewpoint, she was criminally responsible. But those are the two that I had a lot of credibility on, because both those explanations to me explained a massive shift from who she was as a human being. To me, now it's up to the jury to decide, where does it fall for you? So I those are the two I liked. Everyone else I thought canceled each other out.
What are your thoughts on the Googling before? Can you treat a sociopath days before, symptoms of postpartum psychosis, hallucinations, those sort of searches? Is that, Jen, I'm just trying to get a read on your take on it. Is that her having these feelings or you know, inklings that she's either there or you know, you're feeling kind of off and you know there's something intruding here, and Googling that to try to understand what the hell's happening to her? Or is she planning a defense of this murder she's about to take out in a couple days? I mean, or is it something else? I mean, what's your take on the Googling of, you know, pretty much what was going on in her brain, allegedly?
I am so glad you asked that question, and I actually meant to bring that up in an earlier question. Look, I think she absolutely recognized her evil thoughts and what she wanted to do to those kids. And that's why she basically is saying, I'm a sociopath, can I be fixed? That's how I took that. So again, it's this realization of a very serious issue and how she remained around those children when she saw herself a sociopath. That is a huge issue for me. And like I said, and I've said throughout this, I hold Patrick, the mom, and people in her circle also responsible. Once you say, this is where the line was crossed. Once you say, you're not depressed, blah, blah, blah. You say, I want to harm my kids. That's the line. That's, all right, we got money. We've got all these things. We're getting them out of there until you're better.
Not one medical professional testified out of all of them claimed she was a sociopath. Where did you get that?
She Googled it. She Googled it, but that's never been the diagnosis. I mean,
there's never, look at all these diagnoses. She was never diagnosed with anything. And now people are trying to go backwards and diagnose when they didn't even interview her.
Isn't that part of the indictment on the system itself? I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. She was never correctly diagnosed.
That's what makes the case even
I think stronger on her part is the fact that, yeah, she was there begging for help 50 different ways to Tuesday. It turns out she's bipolar. She was getting medication for anxiety and depression, which works against you when you're there. Which one of the side effects happens to be psychosis? Surprise.
Nobody said bipolar except for people who weren't treating her at the time. And she's a liar. She kept back that she wanted to harm the kids. She never told any medical professional that. And that is one of the biggest notes to me. That is a fact.
Yeah, which is unfortunately,
she's a liar. That's normal. Because she didn't want CPS out there.
Yeah.
She is calculating. She's manipulative. I don't know how you can't see it.
Because no one else is.
No.
So she minimized, all the doctors agreed she minimized, but no one claimed she was a liar.
Okay, come on, Robin, potato, potato. if you're interviewing somebody and they minimize their criminal act, their criminal intentions and everything, I call that lying. Just the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Don't give me no voices. Never heard any voices.
So she's minimizing because she's fearful of sharing everything because she's afraid of losing her children that they testified to, because they'll take her away for that. But manipulation for what gain? I mean, so if you're going to claim that someone's lying or not, so to me, people don't feel safe in sharing the truth sometimes because it'll be not in their best interest to do so, and I get that. But when you say that she was lying because she's manipulative, what was she trying to manipulate, and what was her goal with the manipulation?
Great question. She's trying to manipulate her control over the children. Her. It's all about her. Me, narcissistic tendencies. That's it's all there. About me. But so no, I put the kids in harm.
She's been evaluated.
The people, the truth. Who cares? Because I win.
Point out the narcissistic behavior that was me, because if you look at her journals, if you look at everything on the walls in the home, everything was for the kids. Everything that we saw that was presented was all about the kids. The me stuff was how to fix me so I could be a better mom for the kids. Everything she journaled, all the testimony by all her friends, family, and everything else, everything was for the kids. In her own journals that spanned times before this even happened, it was kids, I want to be a mom. I want to have more kids. The claim that she was narcissistic and
I've
self-centered.
Seen that.
You haven't seen that?
I don't see data points on it.
I don't see the narcissism.
Because she wanted to be the great mom for her. Not for the kids. Because remember when she talks about resentment of Cora and Dawson because they aren't basically letting her be the A-plus mom for this kid? This is a woman who always did well, always overachieved, and now she's not living up to this expectation. She can't let everybody know. She keeps it all inside, and that's what I see.
So her solution is murder the kids?
So, and I see your point. If this was like inside of, you know, like IBLP or any of the cults we saw that are religious cults where your entire identity is centered around, you can only be a risen person or a enlightened person if you're a mother. But that's not what she was following. This was actually purely out, again, as stated in testimony, because you're going on facts. I'm only paying attention to what was actually in the trial. And from the data points that were presented, was all about just for the sake of being a mother. There was no expectation that anyone put on her. This is all put on herself. There's no religiosity that was put on here about I'm doing it because my religion or my cult says I need to do this. This was an internal drive for her because, yeah, she's driven to be excellent at the thing she did, hence how she approached everything in life. But to say that she's doing it because she's self-centered, I don't see the data. I didn't see that data come in at all on this.
Let me give you the two data points. I want to harm my kids. Okay, that is not, no, this, but she had said that earlier. I want to harm my kids. And then also the data points that we are forgetting about is I don't like Dawson, basically. He's too hyper. I have to deal with, she even called him like not a good person. I'm like, he's two or three, you know, they're two and three. And also there's very interesting testimony. And I don't know if you caught this like I caught this, but when the father-in-law testified about that Thanksgiving and about how she got angry at Dawson and grabbed Dawson, and then he kind of pulls himself back and he says, well, you know, he's hard to handle. He's a handful, but she didn't really grab him that hard. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what happens. He recognized that was a situation where she was over the top. That's how I took it, and then she falls back.
Because she's on the spiral down towards the psychosis.
Doesn't that all point to the leading towards psychosis, Jen? I mean, I feel like your argument leads us there.
It points to, that's because, and I know why it's going to. If everybody in this audience who is, and you guys who are predisposed and have made the decision that this is a psychotic break, there's nothing I'm going to be able to say. And on the flip side, there's no doctor that analyzed her years or months later, that doesn't know her at the time, that is going to be able to convince me, because at the time she told no healthcare provider she wanted to harm her kids, but she told her mom and she told her dad or her husband. And that is the manipulation. That is the me. And then if you look further back at even her own posting about not liking Dawson, I think that was a precursor or a data point.
Red flags. Red flags is something was starting to go terribly wrong, no doubt.
Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section, Substack, YouTube. We'll continue that conversation there. Links are in the description. 3.5 hours of deliberations. So we're well past that now. We're what? As of this recording, 10 plus. This is where we're at as we're having this discussion. No verdict yet, but we're going to keep watching. The jury went home for the weekend. 5 options on those slips. First degree, second degree manslaughter. Not criminally responsible or not guilty by reason of insanity. We're going to be talking about all that. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, with us, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program. Jen, you've been making a lot of comparisons on the internet, on Twitter over the weekend about some cases. I've gotten into it with you a little bit over the weekend. And I said, all right, we're going to talk about this one Monday. So we're going to talk about this one Monday. You went and started comparing her to Lori Vallow. For all of those, or for all of you think Lindsay wasn't in her right mind and hearing voices, so was Lori Vallow. This is what you put out there. Where are all the pink shirts for her? I'm gonna reply. And then I'm going to let you reply. Okay.
Didn't you already reply on Twitter?
I did, but I thought of this even more because I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Wait until you hear my reply.
For all of us who think Lindsay wasn't, it's not what we think she wasn't in her right mind. That's what the psychiatrist who evaluated her approximately 60 times testified to under oath. That's the medical record. That's what 30 different prescriptions document here. It's really not an opinion. She wasn't, that's established. She wasn't mentally well. So was Lori Vallow. Well, different. Lori believed her children were zombies possessed by dark spirits as part of a doomsday religious ideology. She shared with Chad Daybell, this is not psychosis. This is not hearing voices. That's a belief system that she chose and she acted on over the course of months that she used to justify having her brother kill her ex-husband for $1 million life insurance policy that she maintained while she collected her dead children's Social Security benefits. And she held onto while she flew to Hawaii and got married 17 days after her husband's first wife was murdered. Lindsay Clancy went to the emergency room begging doctors to fix what was happening inside her head. Lori thought she was on a mission from God.
And also, and Lindsay said I killed my kids, and Lori said I didn't.
They're not the same thing.
Okay, so, first of all,
connect the dots for me where I'm not seeing how she's like Lori Vallow.
Lori's a nutter. I'm with you. Lori's bigger nutter.
That was absolutely a post for you, Tony. Because you remember our conversations where we argued whether Lori was sane or whether she wasn't. And I at that is the most facetious comparison for anybody who knows me and anybody who knew my stance on Lori Vallow. No one would have ever could ever take it anything but facetiously that I was pointing that out. And it was specifically at you because of our conversations about Lori Vallow, where you said, listen, and this is all true, she was declared incompetent to stand trial. Do you remember that? It took months. I thought 9 months or a year for her to reach her competency. I want to tell you what the doctors who evaluated her, what she has been clinically diagnosed with, delusional disorder, grandiose and precursory type, hyper-religious religiosity, personality disorder with narcissistic features.
Those are cluster Bs.
Ideations.
Yeah.
She was actually diagnosed. She is was treated.
These are nothing that Lindsay Clancy has.
I'm not saying it is, but just like you said, you know, are we going to say somebody's cockadoodle, you know, nuts, lost touch with reality? It doesn't matter whether they touch reality because of those four diagnoses are because of PPP. I never bought any of that then, and yeah. I don't buy it now. I don't think Lori Vallow, I think she should be 100% held responsible, and she was by two different cards. And sure. I also think she should.
But they're very okay. So you're saying there's not a comparison. You're saying it was facetious that there's.
Oh, 100%. Anyone. Okay. Who knows
okay.
Me, I was
okay. Okay. So is there any?
I'm confused because you did a lot of comparisons. It seemed like one after another all weekend. Like how about this one? How about Earhart? Kaylee Earhart. Is it a copycat? No. Earhart's husband reported her threats to kill herself and her children to mental health services before the timeline even worked. CPS was notified. The threats predate the trial. Mothers killing their children is evil. Yes, nobody's arguing that mothers killing their children is not evil. I understand postpartum depression affects many, and mothers will need help. Her defense is not postpartum depression. It's postpartum psychosis. Depression is sadness. Psychosis is a break from reality. Hallucinations, delusions, a brain that no longer knows what's real. I mean, you know the difference. I mean, it's not a great comparison. So you made a lot of comparisons over the weekend, and I had to start going, okay, let's start looking at all of these. And I mean, other than the fact that children died and there's a very unhealthy brain in all of these, that's kind of where most of these end. It's like, yes, there's a psychological component and there's dead kids. But in terms of like the modality behind them, none of them are really that comparable. There's just not a lot of cases that are that comparable to this. There just really isn't that are well known publicly, I guess we could say.
Well, like I said, Tony, I would just argue, first of all, it was totally facetious. And I think most people caught that, not everybody, but most people caught that if they follow me and because they know how I felt about Lori Vallow. Mm-hmm. So that one was just saying, hey, for all of you trying to say this is a wackadoodle at the time, what about Lori Vallow? She actually has all this. So it's a terrible argument for both is my point.
Do you believe in that?
The other one that you named
Kaylee,
the gal,
Earhart.
Yeah. Earhart, the copycat. First of all, the other handle, her case was well before Earhart's. I know it, not the criminal trial. I'm just saying her case and it being in the news and all of us knew about that. Lindsey Clancy.
Publicity.
It was huge.
And yes, the level of publicity. But the elements of the case aren't very similar.
She's going to use, I promise you, watch. We'll sit back and watch. Everybody record this. She's going to say she had PPP. It's coming out of the woodwork. People are going to use it as an excuse. I think you know that. We all know that. It's a
Are people going to use it as an excuse, or are we just going to start recognizing it more when maybe we haven't in the past? You know, we used to think people are possessed and we'd leech them and all sorts of shit. And then we've moved on going, oh, maybe there are some actual therapeutic things we can do to help people with whatever we think is wrong with them. We're actually not that far removed from leeching in terms of history. So, I mean, I wonder. I mean, yes, you know, could it be used more? Maybe. Yeah, I'm not going to say I know for sure or yes or no, but maybe this is something that, you know, it's recognized as 1 in 1,000 right now. I do wonder, is that extremely accurate? Is it, you know, are we just going to be able to recognize more of this in ways that we clearly haven't? Because clearly they didn't even like recognize the bare minimum with Lindsay.
Hard to recognize when you don't tell your provider you want to harm your kids. Hard to recognize when you're not truthful about really how you're feeling. Hard to recognize when you don't mention anything about voices until
hard to recognize when you don't ask the right questions of your patient.
You know what?
So
if my patient lies, what am I going to do? I'm a tactical medic. Many of
asking
this.
Asking the questions first.
When I go and evaluate somebody and try to figure out the two things I'm figuring out, right? Is this trauma or is mm-hmm. this a medical situation? I'm asking questions. If they lie to me, what am I going to do other than evaluate the signs and symptoms I see?
So here's the good thing. So here, let's go back to the question, because I'm curious about, Jen, about your viewpoint on our justice system, you know, because we have, you know, that you can claim not criminal responsible or not guilty by reason of insanity. We've had in our criminal justice system. It's been adjusted because the Constitution and our justice system is a self-correcting document. They tightened it up in 84 because of the Hinckley case, apparently, when I researched that. But according to, I'm having a hard time understanding, do you believe that we should not have the possibility of not be guilty by reason of insanity? Because people get afraid that, well, this is going to open the floodgates. Well, it hasn't in the past. I mean, so Andrea Yates, I mean, this is the first one of major notoriety since Andrea Yates. And we're seeing how tightly it's controlled. We're seeing how we're arguing of it. I mean, there hasn't been a fear. No, in other words, there's been no floodgates that have ever been opened from cases before. And everyone likes to use that as an excuse not to do it this time. But the bar is so high to even be able to claim. I mean, so here's an example. You know, Nick Reiner, his attorney is battling to try to see if he can claim not guilty by reason of insanity. And this looked like probably not. You know, he's not going to reach that bar. So, I mean, the bar for this is so high. But do you think we should even have it as one of the claims or one of the defenses they can use or no?
I do believe that it should be allowed for certain in mitigation. So, in other words, like Idaho is a perfect example where there is no reason of insanity, but it can be used, those factors can be used in terms of sentencing to mitigate somebody's actions. I like that the best. So it's not that I don't think that cannot be considered. This is the problem. No one ever, let's be honest, no doctor, remember Resnick failed in his first trial of Lindsay. They didn't buy his story.
Oh, Andrea, you're right.
I mean, did I say Lindsay? Sorry. Andrea Yates. Yep. She was convicted. And then in the second trial, you have new people, you have a new presentation, whatever. Resnick, and then this time, you know, he did that analogy, which was critical, I think, what he did to basically blame it on religion. But no, I very much believe in mental health issues and mental health treatment and getting help. I know people might be shocked at this. I really do want Lindsay Clancy to receive help. And guess what? This is what I looked up over the weekend, was you wouldn't believe how great Massachusetts penal system, how great their prisons are at allowing and giving health care to their inmates, mental health care, psychiatrists and psychologists. And it's one of the best. And put her, lock her up. This is what I don't want. Her to have any chance whatsoever of ever getting out and tricking, because the only person that really knows whether she was or wasn't in her right mind, the only person is Lindsay Clancy. That's it. None of these, you know, psychiatrists know.
Yeah.
We can look at the facts, but we don't know.
And then they one person knows.
How about this? Let's get rid of every single argument we have ahead of the outcome, because the outcome that you're seeking is actually pretty congruent with what we're all thinking, what many people are thinking. No one's saying we want her out, and everyone's saying we want her to get mental health treatment because she's got a broken brain. And I think that's where there's a lot of congruence, because that's what, I mean, I know Todd thinks that, Tony and I have talked about that. I think that, I mean, I'm not looking for her to be free. And that's why I think everyone keeps getting so wrapped up on the fear of her getting out, which isn't part of my calculation on this. It's us wanting to learn from it and the fear of this repeating again, which I think is why I want the outcome I'm looking for, is because I don't want this to happen again. And so that's, I think that's where we're all kind of more closer aligned than you would think, because it's the what and the how is you get to the why, and the why is we just want this to happen to her and also for people from this point forward. But let me get a little more clarification, if you could, Jen. Are you saying on the mental health issue, you'd only like to see it in mitigation of the sentencing for anyone, or do you actually still believe in it can be used as a defense?
Well, it's almost used as a defense no place, because typically the people have to show that they didn't understand right from wrong.
Right.
They always screw up and try to hide it and, you know, do what she did, get the guy out of the house. They always leave all these little breadcrumbs so you could tell they absolutely knew right from wrong. That's why it's a high bar. So no, I do not want it to be used except for in mitigation on sentencing. As far as what you were discussing with these, with Clancy, I think she knew exactly what she was doing. So I want to be clear that I'm not at all crawfishing on that. I think she planned it, premeditated it, and did it in her right mind, not in some sort of mental fog that she couldn't control her actions. So just to, I want to make that clear.
To get rid of her kids.
But yes, but I don't think that she's a healthy mind.
For what end? What do you think her, according to you, what do you think her end goal, like what was her intent to get rid of her kids? Where did she's, what was next?
Oh my gosh, it was too much. She was absolutely overwhelmed with the thought of now I've got to go back to nursing school and now I've got these kids to take care of and I'm not meeting up to, you know, what I want and how I want this to be and how I want everything to play out. And they're just too much. I got Dawson. He's a hot mess. I, you know, just went through this whole sleeping, trying to get Callan to sleep through the night. And I had to stop nursing and I don't want to be judged on all of this. And I think she just, that was it. It just,
you think she wanted to get rid of him so she could free up time?
Time, not time, control. She had totally lost control of how her trajectory of things. And she talks about that. She blames it on Dawson and Cora. Dawson and Cora aren't allowing me to be the mother I could be to Callan.
So if she planned that out.
See the resentment.
So if you say she planned it out, what was her plan? I mean, so the plan is to kill him and then what?
The plan was to kill him, which she did exactly
and
what
go back
she
to her regular life? That's what you think her plan was?
When did it, oh, no, no, no. I think it was critical, and she well knew she needed to have a convincing argument that she tried to take her own life. But she made too many mistakes. That's what people do. So
the plan was to kill him, fake her suicide.
Kill him. Well, she did kill them, and that was her plan, so yes.
And that she's going to fake her S and then get away with it. That's you think
yes,
the plan was.
100%. She cut her veins in the wrong way. She superficially cut. She did not use the knife that most individuals who do this, and I mean, literally, I cannot find another case where you use a 6.5 butcher knife. You use a paring knife or something small you can control. I bet you that thing was dull. We'll see what the jury comes
back. Shows a lack of planning, doesn't it?
No, you know what it shows is these different ways. No, she planned all this, sure.
Except
I'll do a couple cuts here. I'm going to do it in front of the mirror.
Sounds pretty like someone in a state of psychosis to me.
What you're forgetting? She looked up, even though she's a nurse, you're forgetting she Googled, where is the carotid? Now, you might argue, and a lot of people argue, see, this is why it's
okay,
planned, everyone. She stood in front of the mirror. A carotid artery is difficult. Even as a tactical medic, I can tell you, yes, it's right here. But then where else can I cut? Like, at this point, is it going to deviate a little this way, a little this way? So she makes a couple of little cuts, lowers herself. There's blood on the sill. There's blood on the shingles. She lands on her back. There's absolutely no contusions, bruises, nothing on her head.
How come no one testified to that?
They did.
No, they didn't.
Oh,
yes, it was all debunked. It was all debunked.
No, no. Please go look at
the prosecution. The prosecution at the closing even gave up on the crawling down the side of the building. The prosecution didn't even include it in their closing.
Oh, on that, I'm talking about the head. The bruises that were
made. Oh, yeah. But the whole theory of her crawling out the window to fake it, that the prosecution didn't even.
There was a bullshit theory by a police officer that was debunked.
Right.
Well, you can call it debunked. Was there blood there?
Well, it wasn't ever a thing. Like somebody's just like spouting off their opinion. It wasn't like studied or anything. It was like, they looked at it and they're like, nope, it wasn't that.
Every single medical expert in there said this was a serious, both sides said this was a serious S attempt, a very serious S attempt, not a crawling down the side of the house thing.
I don't think she went head first. That's a serious S attempt when you dive into the ground.
They all said that she did.
So the experts that do this for a living that said they did, they're wrong?
I look at facts, and I was listening. I remember listening, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay.
So they all missed it, and you got it right.
She landed on her back. Where was her And then when they said she didn't have any contusions, bruises, nothing on her head.
Explain how that works. I mean, if you don't know how that works and you understand the dynamics and the force and all that shit that I don't know much about.
So you
but then you hear the expert's testimony. You learn that well, you really can have this happen without contusions here and there.
She didn't explain that. All she said was, "Yeah, that's what happened." I was waiting for her to say it.
Well, you can look it up yourself. I mean, that's how I understood it. I looked it up. I'm like, well, how can this happen? Because I was weird. I'm like, why isn't there any of that? And then you look it up. Oh, okay. This is typically actually how that happens when somebody makes a landing of that nature and then what it actually looks like. Okay.
Her Jefferson fracture also could occur when she landed as she was found on her back. How do you dive head first? And then you don't hit your head, and then you're on your back.
So, wouldn't the prosecution have brought that up, Jen, and not you? I mean, seriously. I love that we're trying to focus on the facts of what was presented in the testimony. No one testified to what you're saying for the prosecution.
The defense brought it up, and the defense, I think, was eviscerated on cross. Because that doctor stuck to her guns without the physical support. And all she would say was, yes, yes. So please go back and review that. I will too.
Okay. But
specifically, it was asked, and wait a minute, doctor, did she have any bruises? Did she have any contusions? Anything on her head? No. Did she land on her back? Yes. Oh, well, why? And you say she dove head first? Yes. Give me something more. And I also say, don't forget that Lindsay Clancy was an acrobat.
You're comparing her acrobatic abilities at the age of 13.
No, don't. Have you seen these girls? They are the best athletes.
She's in her 30s. Can you do what you did at like 18 when you were in your 30s? Maybe you could. I don't know. A lot of people can't.
I mean, I can't do it as well.
So
I'm on my trampoline.
Because she was
so there's also incongruence between, yeah, but there's also incongruence of, so she's, every single medical professional there, both sides said she's got severe S-itization, that she's severe, you know, and so what you're claiming then too is that even though she had severe S-itization and she's still on S-watch right now, longest that the clinicians have seen for 3 years while she's, you know, in custody, and then all of a sudden she's going to fake it? Okay. There's incongruence between that.
This is what's incongruent to me. Voices, whatever we want to say, her loss with reality, kill your kids. Oh, she did a great job with that. Now, I need you to take your life. Oh, fail.
I've heard so many prosecutors say that. Yeah, you're great at killing others, but not at killing yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you know why? She thought, oh, ouch, it hurt. And that's when she snapped into reality. How about when Cora and Dawson were screaming for their life over the 3.5 minutes it would have taken?
Unfortunately, we don't have our own control over our own psychosis. That's what makes it psychosis.
My bet is if she did a better job of doing that to her throat and wrist, she wouldn't have jumped out of the window.
And she didn't because it hurt. She didn't really want to hurt herself. Ouch. Ouch. It wasn't more important to her to take her life. The ouchie hurt. And by the way, again, the wrong direction. She's a nurse. She knows how to cut those veins.
Maybe. They don't teach you how to kill yourself in medical school.
They don't?
I'm a tactical medic, and she had way more training and education than me.
It's very
simple to know how to do that.
Listen to my daughter learning, had to go to extra school to learn how to do stitches and close up a cesarean section is you know, kind of gives you an education on, you know, what they actually do learn and don't learn coming out of that, going to the labor and delivery.
Yeah, I just truly believe she didn't try. Now, do I think there was a huge error in her judgment? And she never thought she would be paralyzed. That's why the timing was important. Patrick's got to come home. He's got to save me.
So you're telling me she was thinking logically that if I kill the kids, I attempt to kill myself, but I survive, I will be found not guilty, and we can just continue on with our lives, or I can continue on my life however I want to.
And I think it's very possible she's going to be found not guilty now.
But I'm going back to what was the mindset? Yes. What was she thinking at 100%. That moment?
100%. She's calculating.
What do you guys think? Tell us in the comment section on Substack, and YouTube links are in the description. We'll continue the conversation right there. Jennifer Coffendaffer, Break the Case. Get it wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Give us your pitch for Masterclass.
Yes. I have my new class on Masterclass. It's Become the Person Everyone Trusts. It's a great segue for today. You can go anywhere you get Masterclass, and you get other 200 other classes on there. So check it out. Thanks.
Links in the description as well. Go and check that out. Press subscribe. Until next time, for Jennifer, for Robin, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.